Podtackler, the unofficial Haley Universe podcast, presents episode 682, Our Favorite Hidden Things, recorded live on May 16th, 2019.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your sickly host tonight, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T, and I have to listen to this live, so.
Hopefully for not too long, because I'm not sure how long my voice is going to last tonight. I got sick somehow. Not exactly sure, but it happened, and now my voice is almost gone, and I might imagine it might be gone by tomorrow morning. So, yeah. We're going to try to keep this short. So we have a couple things to talk about tonight. There's not a lot of news, and the latest community update hasn't even been posted yet, so we'll try to keep an eye on that during the podcast. It's likely going to come out in the middle of the podcast, like it does about 50% of the time. But we got a couple little things to talk about. It'll be a nice short show for this week. And then next week, we hope to have some guests on. And then the week following will be the week before E3, and we'll get to speculate on all things Halo for E3 and all that stuff. So that should be fun.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. But as we normally do, let's take care of some housekeeping stuff with community updates. So how did Fraggin' Friday go?
Went really well. Had a lot of fun. We actually played some regular big team.
Nice. With the refresh?
Uh-huh. Looks like some of the new maps made it into Fiesta as well, but overall, it was really enjoyable. Some of the maps, the refresh didn't really change the way they play, just more or less changed the way they look. So, you know, it's,
sure.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Good.
It was good to see some new stuff in Big Team, because it was getting kind of dull.
Well, everyone's been really hyping up about this refresh, so it's nice that this finally come to fruition, and we got a lot of updates, and it's nice to hear that some of it went into Fiesta as well.
Like I said, it's the maps themselves.
Sure.
I think it was just the updates to the existing maps that I saw. I don't think I saw any of the actual new maps in there.
Gotcha.
But anyway, it was still a lot of fun.
Good. It was, what, 11 touched up and 7 new, or the other way around, maybe? I think it was the other way around, actually.
Oh, I'd have to look at the update. I don't remember.
Either way, it's a nice welcome change to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we are, we are so good at this. You know, we're such professionals that we can remember nothing.
It's all good.
That's what we talked about week, last right? week, but we have no idea what we said.
I mean, that's a minor detail. We know the we remember the refresh, so that's something.
Yeah. What did we talk about last week? Kittens? Oh, Pokemon?
We did talk a little bit about Pokemon.
Actually, I think we did talk about Pokemon last week, didn't we?
Yeah, because I saw the movie right before the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
So there were 7 new maps and
11 refresh.
Yeah. Plus one Flex ETF was a new, well, not new, but I guess introduced into Big Team. Did you guys run across any one flag?
No, we did play some assault.
That's good. I mean, that's kind of
assault, slayer, newer-ish. Strongholds. They mixed up strongholds a little bit on the 11 existing maps. They moved the spawn points around, or the hills around. Sorry, and it was really funny. We played strongholds, we win. We play anything else, we'd lose.
Oh no!
We were the perfect team for strongholds.
Well, I mean, at least you got something, right?
No, we won a bomb match, and you know, we won a couple of Slayer matches, so we did all right.
Good. That's all you can do.
Uh-huh. Look forward to playing some more tomorrow night.
Yay. I'm hoping to be there tomorrow night. Voice or no voice, I plan to be there.
Dust will be the silent partner, or the silent one in the party.
Until I try to go rambunctious, and then you just hear me go, ah! So for achievement streams, I did continue playing with Laird. We did Arcadia City. I think we had to do it 3 times before we defeated it, but we finally got a strategy down, and we did it. And then we did Arcadia Outskirts on our first try, which was
that's good.
All good. Yeah. So we got through 2, so we're 5 of 15 done, and we'll be resuming our playthrough on Sunday.
Did you finally figure out on Arcadia that you have to build the first base before second base becomes available?
Arcadia City or Outskirts?
Arcadia City.
No, you can build either base first.
Oh.
Yeah, both base plots are available once their little animation happens.
Ah. I tuned in for a little bit, and you looked like you were over there looking for it and couldn't find it.
Oh, I think I was trying to, well, depending on when it was, I was just trying to get a glimpse of if there were any enemies that I could spot or something. I don't remember. But we managed to do it, so thank you, Laird. We'll be back at it again on Sunday. Hopefully get through 3 missions this time instead of the 2. Goal is to be done, at least for me, before going to E3. We'll see if that happens.
That's a lofty goal.
Yeah, it probably won't happen, but we'll see. As far as other achievements, nothing was achieved for this week. Although, I think there was one achievement I got, but I don't remember if it was a Halo Wars 2 one or if it was something after the fact. But during stream, didn't get any achievements. And with going through Legendary, don't expect to, unless it's one of the little like optional objective things.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for streams for the time being. Appreciate anyone who comes over and watches.
I got an achievement in one of my other games that I actually did what I needed to do a month ago. It finally just popped.
Oh, what was that?
I forget what it actually was, but I remember doing it.
Was it one of those glitched achievements that just never popped and it finally popped?
It finally figured out, hey, he's done this.
Yay!
Brings back Master Chief Collection memories.
Oh, jeez.
Complete a level, and then a month later, you get credit for it.
Right. I got to go back and finish some of those, too. I still have all the Lazos, and then on top of that, a couple of the multiplayer ones. So King of the Hill medals, CTF medals. I think I have some the environmentalist medal. That's a or achievement. That's a kind of difficult one to get. It's really kind of luck of the draw, especially since there's not a lot of environmentalist places you can get. Easiest one is Lockout, but you have to get that set up first.
You gotta sucker some people in.
Yeah, well, the easiest way is just kind of going for the suckers who like to run up to either Sniper Tower or BR Tower first on Lockout and get that early knockout of the stalactites. Yeah. You can usually get one or two unsuspecting people depending on who you're playing against.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if anyone wants to kind of hunt for that achievement and just try to match up 4v4, then we can try to do it that way.
But you can get it with fusion coils too, can't you?
You might be able to. I don't know if there's a separate thing for fusion coils.
Or does it? I don't know. I don't remember. Might be worth looking up.
In which case, that would work really well for Zanzibar.
Yeah. Well, it'd work out on Lockout too, because when they run for the sniper rifle, you just shoot those three barrels right behind it.
That's true. Very true.
It's got to be quick.
Yeah, because they know most people know if you go for the sniper that someone's going to try to shoot those barrels. But yep, we'll be back on Sunday for that. And we'll be back on tomorrow night for the Fragging Fridays. So let's go ahead and jump on into some news. Again, nothing new from the Halo Waypoint front, but we do have a couple of new tweets. Let's start off with some Halo Outpost Discovery news. Bravo tweeted out earlier this week that he is going to be hosting the show at all five stops at Halo Outpost this summer.
Cool.
So it sounds like he and DJ will be kind of a Masters of Ceremonies type of a dynamic duo for Outpost. And it is going to be really cool to see him back. It seems like he can't get away from Halo enough.
He's been sucked in forever.
Pretty much. But yeah, he'll be back into the Halo Outpost at all five locations. I'm trying to get him on a panel or two. Also for Outpost Discovery, if you have a VIP ticket, then with that, you will actually get 6 months of Xbox Game Pass. So they've added another perk to the VIP tickets.
Cool. So you're going to have 3 years worth, right?
I don't know if they'll do it for every day that I have it, but.
Well, every event.
Well, I only have VIP tickets for Philly and Houston.
Okay, well, that's a year.
It's 2 years because it's me and my wife.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, two years. 2 years. Yeah, pretty much.
If he's
upset.
6 months.
Right. Yep. But that is a new added perk. So adding a little more value to that VIP experience.
Mm-hmm.
Might end up actually. Perk. Yeah. I end up actually just using one or two of those as giveaway items. We'll see how that goes. Wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be some more perks announced for the VIP tickets coming out. Because I know there's quite a few people that once they saw the perks for the VIP pass, they're kind of a little underwhelmed at what they're getting for the price.
I can see that. I was one of those people. I didn't really voice my opinion on it, but don't get me wrong. There's some neat stuff that they're giving you with that pass, but yeah, I was
kind of lacking a little luster
for that kind of money. I was expecting a real t-shirt.
Yeah, because I spent $1,500 on tickets.
Like I said, you know, for that kind of money, I was expecting a real t-shirt, not an Avatar t-shirt.
There better be a freaking tote bag with a whole bunch of goodies in it other than what they've announced so far.
I'm sure they'll have some kind of gift bag that they give you, but
I have to imagine there's some kind of official event t-shirt that's going to be part of the VIP package. And maybe it was just something where they hadn't had it finished yet, or they're still working on the design. So it might be something that in another few weeks or so, we might see another perk come out for VIP holders or something. So we'll see. Next up that we have on Halo Twitter for the social stream, they had MS Archet, which is Michael Sarchet, who's a software developer for Halo. And they were on the 3 for 3 social stream yesterday playing some Halo 5 Big Team Battle Refresh. I didn't actually watch the stream, but I saw a lot of people get pretty excited about it, so I'm hoping it went well. Warzone Assault is also back this weekend with double XP, and Core Play is rotated into social matchmaking. I'm going to see if I can jump into Warzone Assault and get some double XP to continue the 152 grind. See how that goes. Just a note on upcoming playlist changes. We have Roman King coming back next week to replace Halo 2 BR Slayer. And then on May 30th, we have Castle Wars rotating in for Core Play and Warzone Turbo making its end of the month debut.
I'm not even going to ask.
We'll see. We will see.
I'm not even going to ask.
But I know what you were going to ask. This doesn't even matter.
No, because if I say it, you'll make sure you play it.
Are you going to try to sneak us a tweet in somewhere? Have one of our community members do it?
That's a good idea, Dust. Somebody in the community needs to create a poll that Dusk does not see, and then let me know what the results are.
We did talk about that a couple weeks ago when we had the results of the poll. So the idea has already been posted out there. Just saying. Yeah, if someone wants to do it, feel free.
Let me know, and I'll retweet it or something.
Yep.
I got to hack Dusk's computer so he turns off it turns off notifications.
You have to hack my computer and my phone and all that stuff. If you wanted to do that.
Well, you already got a virus. Oh.
That'd be interesting if there was ever like a virus that could affect humans and machines. Depends on where that.
I'm sure eventually it'll happen.
It might.
Speaking of which, I think my motherboard's dying. Yay.
Oh, no. So I had to completely just kind of on a tangent, but similar note. I had to wipe away my mom's computer because it was one of those unfortunate computers that got the rogue Windows update that basically destroyed everything.
Nice.
It wouldn't boot. It wouldn't boot into safe mode. I couldn't rebuild the boot record. I tried a whole bunch of things. So we managed to back up all the data at least. And then we just wiped away and reinstalled everything. So I had her send me a remote assistance invite. And once we reinstalled Windows, then I just installed all the software and all the patches and updates and whatnot. So funny story that right after that, I got the notification for a Windows update. And I'm like, it's about time I just go ahead and get my backups going.
Yeah.
I now have monthly backups on my computer for my C and D drive, which are my two solid states in my desktop. C being my OS drive, and then D being all my installs for games, Adobe Creative Suite, and all those other big software installs. So that's running now. In case something ever happens.
Yeah. Somewhere along the way, something that they've done with Windows 10 makes it not like my motherboard. Every time a Windows update comes through now, it screws with the BIOS, where I have to reload the BIOS to make my clock correct.
That shouldn't be doing anything with the BIOS. That's weird.
I don't know what the heck's going on. There's either something wrong with the board, but it only happens after an update.
That's strange.
Uh-huh. So I'm starting to look for a replacement motherboard. And it's amazing. For a chip that is 6 years old, people still want $170 for motherboards.
Well, I guess it depends on all the features you want in the motherboard, too, though.
That's just the bare-bones board.
Oh.
I mean, that's not like it's a super high-end gaming overclocking motherboard with, you know, water-cooled MOSFETs or, you know, power delivery. It's just a motherboard. So I got to do some shopping around.
Okay. Look for them deals.
Yeah, I want to go with a different manufacturer this time. I have never been really impressed with Asus's motherboard. It's always been kind of a problem child.
I have I think I've had an Asus motherboard before. I definitely love their monitors.
It's been okay. It's just their BIOS is kind of funny to navigate, and it's limited. Like, there's very little monitoring on the motherboard, like different, you know, like CPU temperatures and stuff like that. It just doesn't really have anything that great. That's something in the future.
Yep. For right now, I'm just gonna stick with my motherboard until another upgrade. There's some definite quirks with it. At least I can get it to work for now.
Well, you know, my computer works just fine for what I do. And until it doesn't, I'm not going to upgrade. Because there's no reason to.
So, like, there's some USB ports that's not quite natively supported by Windows 10, and there's a roundabout way to get it to work. some of the ports, if I plug something in, it actually makes other ports lose power.
Nice.
So whenever I, because right now I'm ripping our Blu-ray and DVD collection, so I have a little hard drive that I plug into the back of my computer to move over all the RIP MKVs and then actually encode them on my streaming PC. And I have two PCs encoding at the same time. But whenever I plug that in, my webcam dies. So in order for the webcam to come back, I have to not just restart my computer, I have to shut it down so the USB buses lose power, and then it basically resets the USB buses when I power it back on.
And you got to make sure that hard drive is not plugged in.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
My mother. Oh, yeah. Computers have wonderful, wonderful quirks. Like right now, this webcam that I'm currently using, that you are looking at me through, OBS can't find. It's in the list, but when I click on it, it doesn't show up. No picture. So last week's Spraggin' Friday had no webcam.
Oh.
So I'm tired of jacking with it, so I'm going to go with something different. It's pretty bad when Microsoft doesn't even support their own stuff, because it's a Microsoft webcam. Isn't that neat?
Well, another fun fact about those Microsoft webcams, or at least it was this way when they were first rolling out the feature to use third-party webcams with Skype on Xbox, is the live cams weren't supported, but the Logitechs were.
Actually, the live cams are supported now because I've plugged this camera into my Xbox.
They are now, but like when the feature was first rolling out, I would have thought their own cameras would have been part of that test line, but they weren't.
Well, it's the same thing they did with their phone, even when they were still actively supporting it. It's like they were actively supporting it, but Android and Apple were getting new features before their own phone was.
Yeah.
Well, like with Apple and Android, you can actually join an Xbox Live party from your device. You can, voice chat. Well, they never got around to giving that to the Windows phone users, even though that feature came out while they were still actively supporting Windows phone. They just never bothered to put that in their own device.
Right.
Way to go, Microsoft.
At least the Xbox survived. Microsoft's mostly a software company.
It makes them... No, they're a game company now. Haven't you heard?
Oh, I yeah.
They're not a software company. They're a game company.
I heard. I heard. They're a software company. Microsoft.
No, they're a game company.
Microsoft, as in software.
That's not what I would say, but anyway, I can't say what I would say. By the way, Laird, thanks for the link to the video. I forgot to mention that earlier.
And of course, the community update's out. It was posted 15 minutes ago.
Of course it's not. Of course.
Of course it is. So we'll get through that in a minute. But a couple of HCS updates from Twitter. We have the latest Microsoft Store 2v2 Halo 3 happening this weekend. So head out to your local Microsoft Store to participate in that. And then we also have DreamHack Dallas coming up here pretty soon. The fourth and final qualifier is taking place on Saturday. And then I believe it's coming up soon. I don't remember exactly when it is, but yeah, it's going to be happening pretty soon. I'm looking it up, so bear with me just a second. May 31st or June 2nd. So yeah, it is going to be in 2 weeks. And there's a $50,000 prize pool for that. So that should be fun. Basically the weekend before E3 happens.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, going into the community update. This one's titled Big Broadcasts. They're talking about the Big Team Battle Refresh. They also have another Limitless Solutions Spotlight, another one that they've made. This one has a little bit more of an Arbiter vibe. They did have some revealed I believe, last year that they revealed the Master Chief arm. So now they have an Arbiter arm.
Yeah, they revealed a Master Chief arm and then the generic multiplayer Spartan arm.
Right. So they're adding to it. So now there's an Arbiter one, which is pretty cool. They talk about the Big Team Battle refresh and the future updates for the community play or the game playlist in Halo 5. And there's also Mixer matchups, Race to E3. This is an event hosted by Mixer. It's a three-week competition that rewards participants for streaming and playing, waiting for E3. Halo 5 Guardians has a portion of this event and pays out $500 to the top 50 players on leaderboards and begins on Monday, May 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. The event concludes on Sunday, May 26th at 10 p.m. This is where you earn Mixer match matchup points, and then the top players get to go out to E3 to play for the final rank and get your championship title at E3. So that should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I will not be participating in that.
I won't either, but there's going to be lots of streams coming up on Mixer here pretty soon.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of streams to watch.
Yep. So there's a couple other matchmaking updates for the Master Chief Collection. And Snipers, the playlist went live on Wednesday, and some of the feedback that they've gotten has resulted in removing BTB maps from Snipers, enabling radar for Halo 3, and reducing the weighting of Halo 3 Sniper Hill, which, why would you do Sniper Hill in the first place? And then for the Sniper playlist, these are the maps. In Halo 1, it's Battle Creek, Damnation, Prisoner, Hang 'em High, Chill Out, and Boarding Action. For Halo 2, it's Lockout, Ascension, Midship, Ivory Tower, Beaver Creek, Colossus, Sanctuary, Turf, and Tombstone. For Halo 2 Anniversary, it's Lockdown, Zenith, and Shrine. For Halo 3, it is Construct, Guardian, Isolation, Narrows, Snowbound, The Pit, Blackout, Assembly, Citadel, and Heretic. For Halo 3 Sniper Hill, it is Guardian, Citadel, and Heretic. And then for Halo 4 Sniper Slayer, it's Adrift, Abandon, Haven, Solus, Landfall, Monolith, Skyline, Pitfall, and Vertigo. There's also some BTB mayhem happening in there as well. They brought a collection of chaotic community-inspired mayhem modes for 8v8 Halo CE social games. And the map mode combos are Action Sack for Halo CE and the 8v8 game size for the mayhem game modes. Mayhem Slayer is 250 kills to win. This includes Battle Creek, Rat Race, Hang 'em High, Derelict, and Longest.
That's a lot of kills.
Yeah.
Huh. That'd be interesting.
It's 8v8, and with how close quarters those maps are, well, except for kind of Hang 'em High, but yeah, 250 can probably go by pretty quickly.
Probably.
And Halo CE games have tended to be longer in the past anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that too. One Flag Siege with 2-minute offense and 5 captures to win on Battle Creek. 2 Flag CTF on Hang 'em High. A Static King of the Hill on Battle Creek. And Moving King of the Hill on Damnation, Rat Race, and Derelict. We talked a little bit about this last week, but there's some new HCS grassroots partners, including Europa Halo and Greater Toronto Halo. They're doing a little bit of recap and some of their upcoming tournaments and their social media links, so you can check that out there. Reminder that if you are looking to submit a panel to Outpost Discovery, the deadlines have been extended to all of them being required by the end of this month, so May 31st. If you have an idea for a panel and you are considering ongoing, then consider submitting a panel for any topic that you would like to talk about. Some Warthog stuff. We also talked about this a little bit last week for the Warthog making his debut appearance at the Peterson Automotive Museum's Hollywood Dream Machines. There was some HoloLens stuff going on, and I believe Kevin Heard our Halo collector got to go and check out some of that stuff.
Yeah.
It sounded like it was pretty good time with that too.
Not bad.
And then at the very bottom, we have some new full-size artwork. And this one is from Halo 2. So thanks, Uni.
Mm-hmm.
Another one to add to the collection. So that's it for the community update this week. Pretty small. Not much news going on.
That one would make good phone background.
Yeah, it's this vertical, so it'd actually be pretty good. It is the calm before the storm. E3 is coming, and it is only 3 weeks away. Well, I guess four weeks away-ish. 3.5, technically. But it is going to be coming. We are expecting a lot of Infinite news. I will be at E3, so if anyone else that's listening to the show happens to be at E3, hit me up on Twitter. Let's hook up and say hi.
Lucky.
And not much luck when I have to pay $500 for a plane and $250 for to actually get into E3.
Yeah, but you get to go.
That's true.
That's just the price you pay.
That is very true. So our topic of the week, I posted this yesterday a little bit late because I didn't have a topic in mind. I'm like, yeah, we'll throw something together quick. Didn't get any responses on Twitter or Facebook, unfortunately, but we did get a couple of responses in Discord. We got two of them. So we'll go ahead and read through those. Do you want to take Mises or Marky's GT?
I'll take Mises.
Okay.
Mises says she says, I'd love more song Easter eggs. Example, when you fly the Hornet up by the spire after defeating where you fight the two scarabs, you get the music that plays there. There's also another one in Halo CE in Assault on the Control Room. If you fly the Banshee up to the top of the building there, it plays some music there. She references one in ODST. So Misa really likes the music Easter eggs, which I have to admit, they're pretty cool.
Yep. So both the CE one and Halo 3 are the Siege of Madrigal.
Yes. So it's the same song, but it's still cool to come across.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying what the song was for those who might be interested. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what the name of it was.
I had to look it up. Very nice. Yeah, those are pretty easy ones to do. And this kind of goes into a little bit of Marky's submission a little bit. So he says, as much as I would love it, the developer in me knows that if any do make it in, it will most likely be extremely boring. Like, oh, this dog you see in the background is the exact recreation of my dog. Because everything has to go through the dev leads and publishers now. Back in the day, you could just sneak snuff in and make funny Easter eggs because there was basically a trust system in place for it. Nowadays, they have literally things in their contracts to say they can't do that and will get fired for it. So basically, Easter eggs are almost dead because of corporate. So basically, only ways funny, cool, creative Easter eggs can be allowed in is 1, indie devs, 2, the AAA studio does not add the clause to their contract, which is uncommon. He thinks. And then 3 is the publisher is somehow cool enough to allow that freedom in our hypersensitive day and age of media. But anyways, his favorite Easter egg to date is honestly kind of small of a pool because I've never explored them too far. I just remember the classic monkey family in Halo 3 and found the videos of the Jason Jones pick, but I'm forgetting much others.
Yeah. There's a, there is a point where people just need to not be so freaking sensitive. I get it.
Yes.
Some people find things offensive. But when you're in the minority that thinks it's offensive, then, I don't understand it. A lot of things people find offensive, I don't. And, that's just the way I look at things.
Yeah.
you know, I'm sorry. I've never been one that's been politically correct. I speak what I think. I do clean it up, because if I actually spoke what I think, I'd just be constantly on that bleeper button. but, you know, it's just, yeah, I get it where he's coming from. The corporations are so scared that they're going to offend somebody that they lock that stuff down. I hope they do some of the, you know, like the grunt Easter eggs, like in, you know, Halo 2 and Halo 3 had, you know, the out of the way character that has some funny lines. That's that kind of stuff. It never gets old as long as it's got good writing. Stuff like the Rex sword, or what's the one on the last level of Halo CE? We have to jump off to the side in the Warthog.
The grunt one?
No, that's the that's also Rex. The Rex sign in Halo CE. You know the big gap you jump?
Yes.
In the Warthog run, if you jump off to the left and you actually land down there on the other side, there's a little room that I think it's a Rex sign, if I remember correctly. But, you know, stuff like that, that's cool. I want them to put stuff in there for people to go out and find, to explore the places where you don't necessarily go. That's the, that's just adds replayability to the game, to go find this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what he's saying. It's really hard to do that when people are so afraid of offending someone that they lock it down to where you can't do it.
Yeah, it sucks. And there are still some developers out there that can put them in there, but the industry, well, it's not just the gaming industry, to be honest, but society as a whole gets so easily offended nowadays. You
know, Jason Jones standing there in his underwear, or floating there in his underwear, offended someone. You know it did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way our society is. When somebody can sue a corporation because they decided to put a hot cup of coffee between their legs, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
it definitely
is. It doesn't matter how hot the coffee is. If you drink coffee, you know it's hot, and you know the last place you need to be putting it is between your legs, especially while you're driving. That's just common sense. At least in my mind. Back to the Easter eggs. Right. I will take whatever they can give us. Music Easter eggs, little Master Chiefs, or maybe in this case, a little Noble Six.
Any inside jokes like the Rex stuff or the Monkey stuff? Yeah.
Put Mr. Chief in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Standing next to a Rex station.
Or put him up in the sky somewhere.
And having you say, put it in your cornhole.
I think 343 is probably one of those studios that they can probably get by with some amount of Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a lot, maybe nothing super risky, but I think there is some leeway that 343 has in doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways you can incorporate Easter eggs that don't involve any of the taboos, you know, as far as poor language or just poor taste. You know, there's plenty of ways to put funny stuff in the game without doing that.
Oh, sure. And you see Easter eggs in other games and in movies. They're not as risky or as mature or some other term.
Yeah, teaser. I was browsing YouTube today and I saw a video that says 212 Easter eggs leading up to Marvel or Avengers Infinity War. Huh?
Yeah. I mean,
somebody's literally gone through every single Marvel movie and found things that they think are Easter eggs that apply to the movie, to Infinity War. I'm like, somebody has way too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You know, it's,
people dive into that stuff. People will chew that stuff up.
Yeah.
But How about you? What's your favorite Easter egg, GT?
I'd have to admit the grunts on the last levels.
Those are pretty cool.
And of CE and of Halo 3. Those I think were neat because you really had to go look for them, but they weren't impossible to get to. You know, they weren't super hard to find. You know, like some of these Easter eggs, they're difficult to get to. And it takes a lot of talent or a lot of practice to get to them, which is fine because, you know, for the more dedicated hunters, it gives them a challenge. But I always like them because they're nice, quick, they're funny. Then, you know, you get to shoot the grunt and revert to last checkpoint because you done run out of time.
Yeah. I think for me, my favorite is probably the RVB Easter egg in Halo 3 on Crow's Nest.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just being a red versus blue fan and seeing how for each difficulty they had a different set of lines for it, and it was very appropriate to the red versus blue style of characters.
Yeah, it was adaptable. You know, it changed, which was unique for Halo at the time. You know, with the different difficulties, you got different dialogue.
Yeah. What's the password? I don't know what the password is. See, you had too many words that time. I would also want to give a notable mention to the Club Herrera Easter egg in Halo Reach.
That was a pretty good one.
That's a close second for me. And then the one on Ivory Tower, the little bird chirping planter thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the only multiplayer Easter eggs in the Halo franchise that I'm aware of.
No, you've got the changing sign on Valhalla that changes with the holidays.
And the sign on Zanzibar. No, that's right.
Yeah, Bungie actually had quite a few of them. They were a lot more liberal with the Easter eggs than
343's been.
I mean, even in Destiny, they kind of pay homage to the Club Herrera in Destiny 2 with one of their lost sectors. It's actually a disco club.
Oh, very nice.
And to progress through the Lost Sector, you actually have to play some music to get it to open the next room. So it's actually kind of cool.
Huh. So you have to have like a microphone and play music into it?
No. You have to go over to like the record or the DJ booth and you actually have to interact with it.
Gotcha.
You know, like, you know, in Club Herrera, you could fly up to the top of the building, flip the switch, and it would change the music.
Yeah.
Except for you don't have to fly to the top of the building to change the music this time. You just walk over to the DJ station.
Okay.
But, you know, it's cool. You know, stuff like that's neat. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do too. I hope we can see more of it.
But I like the grunts because every time I go across them, they make me laugh.
Mass tag in YouTube chat says Marty O'Donnell's secret piano riff in Conan O'Brien on Halo 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty good too.
I'm not a big Conan fan, but yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Well, so that's it for the podcast tonight. It's a pretty short one. It is going to be the calm before the storm. I am sure we're going to get a lot of talk generating on the E3, which is coming here pretty shortly. Next week, our plan is to try to get some audio directors and composers on from some community projects. We also have another book that I'm hoping to finish, Bad Blood. So hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll have that book, book club podcast. And then the week following, we're going to have our E3 speculation podcast. A lot of speculation on Halo Outpost Discovery stuff and Halo Infinite coming about already on social media. So
theories fly.
Yes. Start getting your theory caps on and thinking and whatever you want to see come around for the Halo franchise, whether it's for Outpost or Infinite, or heck, we might even hear something about the TV show. I don't know.
Maybe.
Says it was announced at E3, what, 5-6 years ago now?
A decade.
So,
At the rate they're going, it's going to make it.
Before it's out, yeah, sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they've put together for that. I'm really looking forward to E3 this year. I want to see some more about Infinite.
Yeah.
And it can just be gameplay that's actually rendered in engine. It doesn't have to be campaign. It could just be multiplayer. Ooh, excuse me. Multiplayer. Just to kind of give us an idea of which way they're going with it. Honestly, I would really like them to hold back on any campaign information until next year. I don't want them to start releasing campaign information and have half the campaign spoiled by next year.
So if prior E3s are any example of what they might do this year, then what we'll probably see is some kind of campaign trailer, maybe something that kind of expands on what we saw for the Slipstream engine demo. And then we'll probably get more information about
Cloak Chief again.
That would be interesting. Then we would get more information about the beta flights or the MCs or the Halo Insider flights or something multiplayer related regarding Infinite. And then that'll be the lead up to a whole lot more information on E3 next year, with probably a fall release in 2020. And then probably see some more information about Outpost Discovery and possibly the TV show, a little bit there. I don't know if we would actually see Halo be the frontline runner for the E3 presentation this year, like it was last year. But regardless, I think there's going to be,
they'll probably tack something on the end
that or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Halo is usually either at the very beginning or the very end, or right, almost to the very end.
Right. They either jam their first party titles at the beginning or the end. And then they have their indie game studio stuff kind of be mixed in around it. But I know there's a lot of hype behind Gears going into this right now, so that might be another primary focus.
They'll probably open with Gears,
I guess, as they probably will. But we'll see. That's to speculate in a couple more weeks, at least.
We'll get a whole list of stuff to go through.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so that's it for the podcast tonight. Hopefully my voice will be back next week and we'll be back in fighting shape with some guests on. For our streams, make sure you check us out on Friday night, which is tomorrow at 8:30, which is when Fraggin' Friday kicks off, hosted by GT. And then our My Achievement stream with Lair will continue on Halo CE Definitive Edition Legendary Campaign on Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Might start a tad bit early to try to get 3 missions done or kind of get some more done quickly. And then we have our podcast on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have our social media that you can check us out on. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Discord. You can also check out our live streams on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We stream all of our streams on those 3 platforms, plus the podcast on Facebook and Twitter. We also have our Spartan Company, which you can join up on, and our Xbox Club as well. We did also release the latest installment of Achieving Halo, which was Outskirts. So go check that out on YouTube right now. We've got Metropolis being worked on. Is there any plans for another recording session coming up here soon, GT?
Maybe. Yeah.
When there's more time.
Yeah, well, with warmer weather, other things get moved to the front of the line, like the wife's air conditioner.
That would be important.
Yeah.
It really is. For sure.
And I thought I was going to be able to get some other stuff taken care of with this next paycheck, but guess what? It's going to go to fix the wife's air conditioner. Yay. Oh,
no. Yay. No worries. Not to worry at all.
But I will get to work on. I do have one that I need to finish editing and get uploaded. Thank you to everybody that's watched the current episode, which is what?
Outskirts.
Sorry. Blanked it.
It's all right.
I even recorded it. I am actively working on editing Metropolis. I hope to get it up here soon. I can't promise when, but I hope to get it up here soon.
Very nice. Sounds good. So just be on the lookout. If GT is looking for people to stream with, then we will make that post on our Discord, Twitter, Facebook, all of our social media places there, so you can check those out. Also, quick shout out to our fellow podcasts. We have HCS Pro Talk, Podcast Evolved, Halo Conversationalists, Gamer Rage Podcast, and there's a couple of other ones. Ultimate Halo has their Ultimate Halo show now, and there's the Captain's Report, which is done over by some Halo VR guys. The reason I'm saying that is in 5 weeks, Halo Bowl 3, actual Halo Bowl number 3, will be coming down the pipe, and myself, Bobby, Keys, and Confal will be fighting to represent Podtacular in that fundraising tournament event. So you'll be seeing word about that come out over the next week. We also are looking for people to just kind of help promote that. So whenever we get the word out, please help share the word. It's for a good cause, and it's for a lot of fun as well. And Penn's reminded me that Halopedia is now launching a book club. So they're starting off with the very first book, which I'm totally blanking on the title right now. Halo Fall of Reach or First Contact. Fall of Reach is first, right? Yeah, I think it's Fall of Reach. Anyway, so they're starting that out. I don't think it's an actual show, right, Pins? I think it's just a book club. But that's going to be happening here pretty soon. And I think that's all to cover for now. Yep. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please make sure you check us out on our social media. We also have our podcast where podcasts are listened to. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all that fun stuff. So check us out there. With that said, thanks everyone for tuning in via the live stream and downloading the show. We appreciate all the support. We'll see you next week with hopefully some guests and some better voice on my end. But until then, keep on fragging them trucks.